God, we come this morning to worship you. You're a mighty and great God. You are holy. Not only are you sinless, but as a holy God, you are utterly unique. There is no one like you but our God. You are a big God. And we come to sing to you, to magnify your name this morning. And Lord, we ask that all that goes forward from here on out will just bring you honor and glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, what?
Amen.
Have a seat. Hey, if you need to go to Children's Church, make your way there. And also, I believe the ushers, do you have, maybe not. Did everyone get the vision brochure? Does anyone get that? If you have not gotten one, we're going to have some out there in the back for you. Oh, we do. Awesome. We've got some ushers. So if you need one, some of our ushers are available. Looks like Dale is the only one available. So, but hey, 2018 is big for Midlothian Bible Church. It's big because we have a big God. And because we have a big God, I believe we can have a big vision for this year. And so our vision, which we rolled out last week, is to advance our partnership in the gospel. We want to go forward with what God has called us to do. We particularly want to do that in the areas of finances, relationships, also in prayer and in missions. And this morning we have an opportunity to see how some of that vision hopefully will be impacted in greater ways. We have two individuals who will be here with us this morning and they're going to share with us. But I'm glad they're here because they're a part of the vision. They're a part of why, first of all, financially, we want to be done with debt. First of all, our heart is this. We want you all to experience personal financial freedom. My heart was encouraged when this morning, I believe it was, how many people were up there today, Andy? 40? We have about 40 people signed up for Financial Peace University. That is awesome. We also are eventually going to roll out where all of our Sunday communities, all our small groups, we're going to go through the study, God Owns It All. Because we want to be reminded that the resources that we have, they're not ours. They're what God has blessed us with, and He wants us to enjoy them. But He wants us to enjoy them where we're personally, spiritually, financially free to be able to use them to further His kingdom. What we want to see happen financially is we want to see double the number of regular givers. That is, we want to see double the number we already have who are giving regularly on a monthly basis. Whatever that is. If you gave nothing, just give $5 a month. Whatever it is. We just want you to experience the joy that there is in being obedient and giving. Third thing is we want to erase our church debt. About $1.2 million. We want to be done with that this year. And so what we're encouraging, what we're calling you is that you will take this next month, this month of February, and we want you to pray, God, how are you calling me to give sacrificially? And for some of you, it might just be, I'm just giving, all right? But do you realize if we double the number of our givers, that all that money that is given in double, that we're going to use that above and beyond our budget to go towards our debt? So by some of you just giving regularly, that will help us. But God has also called some of us, and I'm one of them, that I need to give above and beyond what I normally give. And so we just want you to pray about that, and then we're going to give you a chance to respond at the end of the month. But that finance is important because we believe there are some things that with that freedom of debt, that God is calling us to advance the gospel even further. And one of those things is we want to equip more of you for ministry. But we need further leadership for that. We want to equip you further in the skills to take the gospel out, the skills and having more small group leaders. And so we want to equip you for that. We also want to serve more people in our city. We want to see ourselves investing more in our community and reaching out to them through some of our programs like Regeneration. And I have a big heart for starting a ministry called Reengage, which is helping disciple couples and marriage. And we want to be able to do that to the community because God is glorified when marriages are healthy. Amen? We want to be a part of actually, we have a growing Hispanic community. And God has blessed us here in this church with people with Hispanic backgrounds. And that's by no mistake. That's a gift. And we want to be more intentional about saying, God, if that's whom you're bringing here and you've blessed us with people in our body already, we want to be more intentional in reaching out to them and helping them be a part of the body of Christ right here. Because God is glorified in diversity. Amen? He is. And then third, we want to attract more of our community. God has blessed us with the buildings that we have, the grounds that we have. But we need to take steps to improve our facilities. I have a few pictures up here that we can look at, just some of the things that we want to do. We want to change our entrance, and we actually want to capture that space out there so it's more convenient and more welcoming. We want to actually make this fellowship hall out there in the area like you want the fellowship there. I have dreams. I have a dream, and my dream is this. I just see it in my mind that I see young moms coming, and our older ladies, our more mature ladies, are meeting with, I caught myself. Thank you. That they are meeting with our young moms, and they're carrying out Titus 2. And they're meeting out here in an area that's conducive to be able to have coffee and refreshments and just talk about the Christian life. I have dreams of more Sam Rogers that are meeting guys on Wednesday nights, that they don't have to go into some scary room, all right? But that they can meet out here in a place that is convenient and warm and inviting. You want that? And we want to do that in a very financially sound way, because when we pay off our debt, then we can just cash flow it. We can do that. And then there's this, though, folks. There's the last part, which we get to celebrate here today, and that is we want to reach more people around the world. And we want to be in partnership to do that. We want to support Jeff Thompson at a greater level. For those that don't know, this fine, bald-headed man sitting here in the front, all right, he's just glistening off his head, the light. He was raised in this church, came to know Jesus here, served as a youth pastor here, and then God called him to something else, and we got to follow what God calls us to do. And he called us to partner, he called him to partner in Colombia, and for the last 5 years, he has been leading trips where we get the blessing to go to Colombia. And many of you who haven't gone have supported and get to partner with our Colombian brothers and sisters in Christ to share the gospel. And here's what's awesome. Jeff is stepping up his leadership. He is being handed off to now become the E3, what is it? I can't even say it right. The national direct, U.S. National Director for Colombia. That's a big job. And we want to support them in not only our prayers, but we want to support them financially. All right? And we are blessed this day to have two men, Sam Agracia and Bernardo Gonzalez, who have been working in Colombia for years. And this fits right in our vision, because part of our vision is that in our relationships, it's better to partner together because we're better together, right? And here's the cool thing. I went to Colombia this past summer, and when we go to Colombia, we think we're going to help them, and we do, all right? And we do. We get to help them. But you know what? I was helped by my brothers and sisters in Christ in Colombia. I was encouraged by them. I was edified. I was challenged by them. And I love the one thing I came away with the churches I worked with was the partnership that the fellow churches had there. They didn't care necessarily what church was growing the fastest or the most people were coming. What they cared most about was that the gospel of Jesus Christ was going forward in Armenia. See, there are no church logos in heaven. Did you know that? They're not. And what we want to celebrate is that we are partners together with E3 partners, with our brothers and sisters in Colombia, and you all right here. Even if you never go, you're a partner with them. So this morning, we're going to have Sam Agracia. He's going to come, and he's going to share. We have the mic. You get that mic. And so, Sam, if you would come up, and then following Sam Bernardo is going to come up as well and just share kind of what's going on in Colombia. Let's give Sam and Bernardo a hand.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate you.
Hold that up, brother. On a hunting trip some years ago, I was able to find this yoke in an old barn. And it was meaningful to me. I'd actually been looking for a yoke that I wanted to grace the wall of my office, because the yoke, the symbol of the yoke in the New Testament, had become particularly meaningful to me. And I had somewhat of an awakening about the importance of that symbol in the teaching of Jesus, and certainly in the modeling of Jesus and how he was doing discipleship. Picture a yoke of oxen connected here together in this yoke. A yoke of oxen are headed in the same direction. They're working toward the common goal. They're not working in opposition to one another, but they're working together. And their power is not just added as two, but in that way, their power is actually multiplied in impact. You don't yoke up a pair of oxen to sit them in the barn. You yoke up oxen to work in the field that will produce a fruitful harvest in due season. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus proclaims a vital offer to the disciples of his generation, but extends down to you and I today as followers of Jesus. Listen to what he said. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This scripture is rich with irony. The sovereign, powerful Son of God is not harsh and fearsome. He describes himself as gentle and humble. And while the yoke can be and is in the Bible emblematic at times of bondage and slavery and burden, here, taking Jesus' yoke yields rest for our souls. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Culturally, for the Jews, to take the yoke of a rabbi meant to come alongside the rabbi in life, to walk with him, not just to gain information, but to become like him. To follow him, to become like him. And this is the invitation of Jesus to his disciples and to us when he says, follow me. He's saying, take my yoke as your master. Actually, the word learn, the Greek word, is the word disciple. Jesus says, come and take my yoke upon you and disciple with me. And so a yoke is an implement for learning by walking side by side with maturity. Furthermore, the yoke symbolizes intentionality, intentionally joining together with someone in partnership to work together. And it extends to different relationships, marriage, friendship, business relationships, and of course, discipleship, and as Matt already mentioned today, partnership. So in this case today, this yoke represents the yoke of partnership that E3 Columbia has had with Midlothian Bible Church. It's been a great partnership. We have been headed in the same direction. We've been reaching and meeting many of the same goals. We're working together with purposeful, common goals unto the Lord. And our power has not just been added, but it has actually been multiplied in impact as we've yoked together these years. A fruitful harvest has been evident in equipping, evangelizing, and in establishing disciples in churches. And many lives, as you just said, brother, have been changed, including our own. So we're here today to just briefly say thank you, Midlothian Bible Church. Thank you for praying and giving and going. Thank you for the relationships, the encouragement, the love. Thank you, Matt, for going this past year. That was terribly meaningful to us and to the Columbia Partners in the Coffee District that you came and leading your church out, not just sending them, but taking them. Thank you for that. I've been in yoke with Bernardo Gonzalez and his wife Mildred for about 15 years, and in particularly the last 7, very intentionally, we have been yoked together since he became our national director on the Colombian side. And I've also been yoked together, let's try this, with Jeff, don't hurt me, and Leslie Thompson, okay? And we've been yoked together, and I know, just stay there, it's probably dangerous. Come over this way. And we've been yoked together, and I've been walking with Jeff. Gosh, when did I meet you at the Berean Conference? Like 7 years ago. Yeah. It's just an amazing journey. And this past week, we had a leadership retreat with our Columbia team here in Dallas, and really Jeff taking on more of that role of leadership, and I just sat back with great delight. So January 1st, guess what? We switched sides, okay? So I'm still walking together with Jeff. But Jeff's now our director, Matt, as you said, on the USA side. And we've been very intentionally for the past year working on a succession plan. I'm convinced, like I've been working at Columbia 25 years, a huge part of my life and career. I would not just hand the baton over to anybody. So I want you to know that I'm convinced that this man and his wife are called of God. Amen. For this. I believe they're gifted, and I believe they have just everything that it takes in terms of lead, not just leadership, but servanthood. They're ready for this role. So I'm very thankful for this church because you raised this man up, and now God's raised him up for such a time as this. So as an Antioch church, as Antioch in the New Testament, the book of Acts, sent out Paul and Barnabas, thank you for sending out this couple. And I want you to know that I personally support their ministry every month financially as well. So I got skin in the game too, okay? So let's up the ante and help this family. And it's not just about supporting Jeff. It's about supporting his dear wife and those 5 kids. Amen? No, thank you. Okay, this is Bernardo Gonzalez. I want to say one more thing. I need prayer because Jeff's now my boss. Scary, isn't it? But they're not kicking me to the curb because I'm still on the team. I'm still leading teams. I'm still involved. I'll still be mentoring Jeff and walking with. But I tell you, I've learned a lot from both of these brothers. And as Jeff confessed recently in a meeting, he said, look, I may be the queen now, but you're still Winston Churchill. So I thought that was good.
Thank you, son. Okay, good morning for everyone. My name is Bernardo Gonzalez. I am the E3 Colombia National Director in the country of Colombia. And for me, it's a privilege to stay with you this morning and share a little bit with you. My main job in Colombia is helping the churches to develop themselves in order to establish the kingdom of God. And it's great things that you send teams to our country to share the gospel with the people. That is amazing. But you know what? In our Colombian side, we believe that we need to do more after that. So we are developing tools and models that help them so how to establish and how be more healthy churches. So we developed one specific tool called Mentoring Network. The Mentoring Network is a tool that provides training but also provide tools and models that give to the churches the opportunity to develop themselves, planting new churches, and establishing new churches, and extend the kingdom of God in that way. I want to share with you one of the examples of this work. This particular denomination in Barranquilla, the city that I live, they started to work it with us 2 years ago, approximately. In fact, they hosting teams from the United States. But they started the process with the Mentoring Network. And result of that, they realized that God is challenging them to extend the vision to extend the kingdom of God. So during 15 years, this denomination only had 3 churches in Barranquilla. You can imagine that? After 6 months of start the process of the mentoring network, they extend the vision. And they, in 6 months, established 10 new churches. That is amazing. But you know what is the goal that I have for 2018? Establish 20 new churches among the communities. So that is huge. And when I hear the testimony of them, they say that the mentoring network give the path that they're looking for. The main board of this denomination stay in Bogota, the capital of Colombia. And when they realize the fantastic job that they are doing in the North Coast, guess what? They're going to replicate the model in the whole country of Colombia. So praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for you, for Melodian Bible Church, because you are sending teams to my country. You are praying for us, but you are supporting us. You are supporting this guy. I learned to know this guy, and honestly, I admire him. And for me, it's an honor to work with him. So thank you for that. And thank you for consider send more and more and more teams to Colombia. Thank you for that. You know what? I really believe something. Colombia needs to be reached by Colombians. But guess what? North America needs to be reached by North Americans. Thank you so much and blessings.
Amen. Let's just take the time right now. Just pray for our brothers in Christ. Let's pray for Colombia. So while I'm praying, don't just listen to me. Pray. Pray for these churches to multiply. Pray for people to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear God, we come. I thank you for Bernardo. Thank you for Sam and Jeff. And what a privilege to be able to partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ with these men and all those believers that you love so much in Colombia. And Lord, we just pray for your church there that it will spread. We pray that the gospel will go forth with all clarity. We pray that you might embolden and strengthen the believers in Colombia. We pray that you will continue to raise up healthy churches. Amen. And then, God, we pray that you are magnified and you are glorified. And it's in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right. Amen. If everyone would open their Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, and I'm going to be brief. Don't worry. Some of you are getting panicked, weren't you? You're like, oh no, Matt's winding up. So, Colossians chapter 4. Well, I've been hearing some good stories. There's been stories of alarms going off. There's been stories of alarms going off in restaurants. And the person looks down and it's 119. But then not only do they hear their own alarm, but they realize that another alarm is going off somewhere else in the restaurant. And then they begin and it strikes them, that person must go to Midlothian Bible Church. I don't know that person. So it's actually serving as a connection point. If you have no idea what we're talking about, we are challenging each other to set our alarm clocks at 119. And this is based on the scripture from Philippians 119, where Paul says it is through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit that this will turn out for my deliverance. The deliverance that he is talking about is that when he goes before the emperor, that he will boldly go before the emperor and proclaim the gospel. What we're asking for, what we're praying for together as partners in this gospel, is we're praying that God will rise up and move us to be generous givers and to pay off our debt, that God will supply. But even more than that, we are praying this year that 20 people will come to know Jesus as their Savior, be baptized and discipled right here in Midlothian Bible Church. We want that everywhere, but we want to see God's transforming power change people's lives, to take them from death, eternal separation from God, and bring them to life. So we encourage you, if you haven't set your alarm, get it out right now and set it. If you can't, if you're like, I can't work the alarm on my iPhone, there are kids that are sitting right here that they will help you get it set. So if you have problems with that, come over here and they will help you set that. But we are coming and we are praying because in order for this to happen and occur, it's going to take the power of God. I just heard the statement recently again, this quote. It says, the muscles of omnipotence are moved by a thin nerve called prayer. The muscles of omnipotence are moved by a thin nerve called prayer. We are called to pray. In Colossians, which is another book that was written while Paul was in prison, around the same time he's writing to the church in Philippi. He writes to the church in Colossae. And he's talking about the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. And as he comes to the close of his letter, and he's coming to a close amongst a people who are having to deal with false teachers in their church, he comes and he calls them out in this last verse, or these last verses towards the end of the chapters here. And he says, first of all, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. That is, in order for us to advance the gospel together this year, we must be a people who pray for open doors and receptive hearts. You got to realize that when that alarm clock goes off at 1:19, that what we're praying is that there are doors that are being opened in these lives, that hearts are being opened to receive the gospel. It says here, continue steadfastly in prayer, or literally to be devoted to prayer. This is really an intensified form of the Greek words behind it that literally means to adhere firmly to be courageously persistent, or to hold fast and not let go. And there's a sense in our Christian life that we need to live our lives in such a way that we are constantly holding fast to God. That we're firmly holding on. Now, He will never let go of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But sometimes we go through this Christian life and act like we really don't need Him. And I've been there. And I get there sometimes. And the way that we need to live our Christian life is, God, I desperately need You every day to live this Christian life. I've got to hold firmly to You. Because, God, I need Your wisdom. I need Your power. I need You, God, to bring Your presence to bear to every facet of my life. There is a quote that has been sitting on my desk, and it's a reminder to me personally of how I must be persistent in prayer. It's by a man named Ian Bounds, and we have the words up here. But he writes this, and this is personal for me. This is why I'm sharing it. He says, the pulpit of this day is weak in praying. The pride of learning is against the dependent humility of prayer. Prayer is with the pulpit too often only official, a performance for routine of service. Prayer is not to the modern pulpit the mighty force it was in Paul's life or Paul's ministry. Every preacher who does not make a prayer a mighty factor in his own life and ministry is weak as a factor in God's work and is powerless to project God's cause in this world. You know when that was written? 1907. It's still impacting me today. I am weak in the pulpit if I am not on my knees praying desperately for God to move. My words mean nothing if the God of this universe is not moving through me into your life and others. And you and I, we are weak in our marriages. We are weak in our relationship. We're weak in the workforce. If we are not daily seeking to bring God to bear to that situation. Look what he says here too. He says, continue steadfastly, being watchful in it and with thanksgiving. Why watchful? Why is he saying be watchful in it? Just stop here and think with me for a minute. There's a spiritual battle that's raging in Colossae. There's a spiritual battle that's raging in Philippi as well. And there's a spiritual battle that is here, right here in Midlothian and in Columbia. I mean, stop and think about this for a moment. When you begin to roll out a bold, audacious vision, do you think that Satan wants to see, do you think he wants to see 75% of Midlothian Bible Church attenders to go out and share the gospel with at least one person this year? Do you think that Satan wants to see, do you think he wants to see people experience financial freedom in their personal life? Do you think that Satan wants to see us be able to erase our debt so we can further advance the gospel of Jesus Christ with those resources? Do you think that Satan wants to see 20 people come to Christ that are baptized and are discipled right in this church? Do you think Satan wants to see you have Christ-centered marriages? Do you think he wants you to see your children pursue hard after Christ? He doesn't. There's a spiritual battle that is raging in our family lives, in our church, and all around us. And one of the primary weapons that we have is through prayer. That we might bring the power of God to bear in our lives to change and transform lives. I love what John Piper says. He says that we have tried to make prayer merely a domestic intercom instead of a wartime walkie-talkie. He says prayer is not designed merely as an intercom between us and God to serve the domestic comforts of the saints. It's designed as a walkie-talkie for spiritual battlefields. It's the link between active soldiers and their command headquarters with its unlimited firepower and its air cover and strategic wisdom. You and I, we have a walkie-talkie that we ought to be carrying around with us all the time. It doesn't mean we're just going and we're praying for 30 minutes here, but no, we're going throughout the day because a walkie-talkie is as you go, right? And regularly we should be going, hey, God, you got to come to bear right now. God, I'm upset with my wife over finding the bed sheets right now. Can you help me? That's a true illustration, by the way. God, this child is driving me nuts. When will the teenage years end? God, I want to see this person come to know Jesus. I don't have the words, God. You come and you change their heart. Lord, you make them receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, God, we've got missionaries in Colombia and Albania. And God, we got missionaries in Liberia and Hungary. And God, we're missionaries right here. Would you just blow the hinges off the doors of these places so that people will be open and receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's why prayer is so important, folks. We got to make it our wartime walkie-talkie. That's what we got to make it. Now, what we're praying for is this. He says that the God may open the doors for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is simply the gospel of Jesus Christ, on account of which I am in prison. God, open those doors. If we want to see 20 people come to Jesus Christ this year in Midlothian Bible Church, God has to open the doors. He has to do it. And we must call out to him. Now, as we do that, we also need to walk wisely and speak graciously as he opens doors. Real quickly, look at verse 5 with me. He says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Wisdom is this, folks. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and apply it skillfully to a situation. So when the doors are blown wide open, what it also takes is that we have wisdom as we deliver the gospel to other people. And here's how. I've had open doors and I've walked like a bull through a china shop through those open doors. And what I mean by that is I can remember a situation when I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I grew up, And we went out and we were actually sharing the gospel around University of Cincinnati there. And I saw an opportunity to go and talk to a guy, and I started to talk to him. And I realized afterwards, after somebody kind of called me out on it, that I went in with a pre-planned method that I was just going to go and I'm just going to share the gospel. And you know where I lacked wisdom? I lacked wisdom in saying, what is this person saying? How is this person responding to me? What kind of question should I be asking? She's like, really getting to know this person instead of just being about my outline here of the gospel. We need wisdom. We also need grace as well, as the text says this. The text says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Did you know the gospel of Jesus Christ is already offensive? Did you know that? People are offended that we are telling them that there's no way that they can save themselves. They're offended by that. And so what you and I need not do is offend them anymore. The message of the gospel is offensive enough. So what we need is we need to come in with speech. And I'm not saying we don't speak truth, but we speak truth, but we season our speech with grace in how we speak. Let me give you an illustration of how this is active in my life right now, how wisdom and grace are needed. I go out to lunch a lot because I'm meeting with people. I'm connecting. When I'm out there, I'm also trying to connect with people in the community. I'm trying to have conversations, trying to get to know people. And in one particular location, there was this young man who I've been spending a lot of time, and he knows what I do, all right? He hears my conversations. He would always come and talk to me. Then on one occasion, I went in and I noticed he looked different. And I noticed he was kind of avoiding me. And so I kind of struggled with that. It's like, well, what's going on? What did I do? What kind of offense have I made? And then I kept going back, and I would go back again and try to talk to him on occasion. And then finally, he sent someone out, and this person said, well, she would like to talk to you but can't do it now. Did you hear that? Okay, this is the real world, folks. And I understood why he began dressing like he was. Now I had a decision here. Am I going to stop loving and stop pursuing? But I had to stop and I had to say, God, how do I handle this? How do I go about this, Lord? What does it take? And I talked to other people. I talked to Mike, and Mike Duncan and I, we talked about this conversation. He shared how he learned. Until finally what God put on my heart was I'm going to go and I'm going to go to that person, and here's what I did. I says, hey, what name are you going by right now? Now, I know some of you right now, your feathers are just kind of, what? And I prayed, and I asked for wisdom, and I realized it will do no good for me to have a battle over a name. And what I believe the wisest thing for me to do is to meet that person right where they are, to continue to build relationships, have grace with them, so that God might continue to open the door so that I can begin to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly. Because all the other surface arguments are going to make no difference if that person doesn't come to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes and transforms lives. And so you need to pray for me that door just busts off the hinges, and that with all grace and love and wisdom and truth, I can speak into that life. And that God will change the heart. Amen? Now here's the question. So we advance the gospel prayerfully. We advance the gospel by walking in wisdom and speaking graciously. But in verse chapter 4, he's also praying that they might speak it. He might speak it clearly. Now, one of the things that I've challenged you with that's a part of our vision is we want every one of you to learn a way to share the gospel absolutely clearly. clearly. So here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to land this plane. Jeff is going to come up, and we've got two guys that are going to bring up a board here. And you guys are going to get to learn a way to share the gospel so that when God opens that door, you can step in and speak it clearly. Amen? Jeff, you ready to go?
Yep.
Do you need this out of the way?
Yeah, I'm completely better.
All right, so get your pens ready. All right, get your pens ready. And pray that the Keener boys don't fall over.
We found a couple of brute Eagle fans. Figured they would have the raw, aggressive strength to get it up there.
Thank you.
Go Patriots. Okay. Here, we're gonna keep this place holy here. All right, so thank you, Matt. So the reality is that as a follower of Christ, you're called to be an ambassador of Christ. And an ambassador just simply represents his king or a sovereign in a foreign land. And so we're, you know, our citizenship is in heaven, but we live here in a world that's very broken. And so we just need to have words seasoned with grace in a context of love and words that talk about Jesus in an atmosphere of love. This is the recipe that God uses to powerfully transform lives through the message of the gospel. It's also important to remember that it's not your words ultimately that have power. It's his words. He says that in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And so what I'm going to share with you is just a tool. There's hundreds of ways to share the gospel. I'm going to teach you one. And for instance, in Colombia, we actually use a different tool. But in our context here, I found this tool to be very helpful, and it's actually bearing fruit all over the country, and the gospel is moving forward right here in our own country. So one principle that I want you to understand is that brokenness is often the door to the gospel. And as you're walking with people relationally, and if you're loving on them, trust me, you do not have to beat anyone over the head with the Bible or the gospel. If you're loving on them and having a relationship with them, trust me, they're going to share their brokenness with you. And this tool uses that brokenness as a bridge to the gospel. So, for instance, you're in a conversation with someone telling you about a divorce and a crazy marriage or whatever it is, a wayward child, and you're listening, and you can start the conversation something like this. So, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. Man, I had no idea you were going through that. I just want you to know, I'm going to be praying for you. And as a matter of fact, would you just mind if I pray for that right now? Because I can't really do much about that. I'm sorry for you, but man, I believe God can. Can I just pray for you? And if you get an open door to pray, then you pray. Okay? And we're being obedient to the scriptures. And when we listen, and then when we actually stop and pray, we invite the Spirit of God in to do things that we could never do. And then once that prayer is done, we can start right here. And you say, you know, let's just say, Betty, you know, first of all, again, thank you so much for sharing that with me. It means so much to me. I just want you to know that I'm just like you. What you're talking about is you're talking about situations in your life that are broken. I just want you to know that I've got the same things in my own life, different circumstances, but really ultimately we're all broken people. And you know what? We also live in a broken world. Can I just take a few minutes and just share with you just some really good news that has really given me hope? And then if you've got the open door there, you say, okay, you know what? What I want you to understand, Betty, is that what you're experiencing and what I experience in the brokenness of the world was not God's original design. It was not, this world as it exists today is not God's intention. When God created the world and everything in it, and when he created human beings, he created us to have a perfect relationship with him, to actually be with him in a real present way. God dwelt with us, his people, and it was good. That was God's original design. But you know what? Something happened. Something really terrible happened. Those first two human beings that God created to be in a perfect relationship with him, they actually walked out of God's perfect design. It sounds crazy now, but they had everything. They had a perfect relationship with God, but they actually chose to walk away from that. And when they walked away from God and when they disobeyed the rules that he had set out for them, they entered into a state called sin. And actually, what I want you to understand is that thing called sin is actually what has caused all the brokenness that exists in our world today, that exists in our lives today. And every human being on this planet experiences this condition called brokenness. And it looks different in different people and different lives. And Betty, what you're just sharing with me, man, that's brokenness. And I'm so sorry. But I could tell you stories of my own life about brokenness. But what we need to understand is that this is not God's original design. This is the result of sin, our sin and other sin. And in our lives, it looks differently. So for instance, every human being doesn't want to be in this broken state. And so they do things, they develop patterns to try to deal with that, to cope with that, to make it better. For some people, they use substances like drugs or alcohol to just kind of dull that pain caused by brokenness. Other people, they think, if I just have the right relationships, the right marriage, hang out with the right people, I can fix this. But again, it just doesn't ultimately work. Many people pursue money. They pursue possessions. They pursue the right career. And if I can just have enough money in the right position, man, I'll be good. Other people, they're just like their family. They say, if I had the perfect family with perfect kids, man, I can take care of this. But you know what? Each one of these things falls short. Because ultimately, there's nothing any of us can do to solve our brokenness or to fix any of the brokenness in the world. But here's some good news that I want to share with you. God has actually made a way to really impact the brokenness that we experience. And he did it in this powerful, unbelievable, really crazy way. God sent his very own son, Jesus, who never to come and be born as a human just like you and me. And Jesus was a man and he lived a full life, but he never sinned. He was very different than us. But sin had to be dealt with. In order to get people out of brokenness, sin had to actually be the power of sin had to be destroyed, and Jesus did that by coming and dying on a cross. Even though he never sinned, he took all the sin that we have done, that the world had done, and he took it on himself, and he died on a cross. And he paid that sin, but he did not stay dead. After being dead for 3 days, he rose again. When he died on the cross, he conquered sin. And when he rose again, he conquered death. And by doing this, he has made a way for us to move out of brokenness. And it's really easy. It's not always simple. And it's not always easy. But it's at least very clear. He wants us to repent and believe. Repent just simply means to just turn away. We go down these broken paths that can't really help us or heal us, but Jesus can. And he says, believe in me, what I've done for you on the cross, and then turn away. Trust, believe, and walk a new direction. And then if we will do that, he makes this amazing promise to us that we can actually recover from some of the impact of this brokenness, so that we can pursue him to move back into his original plan with us, which is relationship. Okay? And that's really the good news that God wants us all to understand, that we can believe in him, that he has made a sacrifice that is powerful enough to heal us. And then once we start to recover, he actually puts a spirit in us and he begins to heal us from the inside out. And Betty, I appreciate you hearing this, but this is what I believe. And I've made this choice. And it really has made an impact in my life. And Betty, I would just really humbly just like to ask you to identify just where in this process are you? And if Betty just doesn't know or whatever, you can kind of, it's a platform for further discussions. But then ultimately, say, Betty, would you be willing to believe right now that God can do this for you, that he can really impact these situations? And if there's an open door, then you pray and someone gets saved. But I hope you can see through this demonstration, brokenness is the door to the gospel. And every single one of you in your relationships has these opportunities. You don't have to force it. But when that door opens, it's helpful to be ready. And this is a tool that in coming months, we're going to be having some opportunities to train you further, to be better equipped for this. And we're so excited to see what God's going to do through us.
Thank you, Jeff. Some of you are thinking right now, well, that's Jeff. I can't do that. All right. He's bald and he looks good at doing that. Here's the deal. Jeff couldn't always do that. All right. I'll just go ask his mom right now. She's standing right in front of me. Or sitting in front of me.
We realize that. So if you look in your bulletin, it says Three Circles Life Conversation Guide. You can actually get on your phone, go to the App Store, download that for free. You can review how to share this, but here's the cool thing. There's actually a video on there that when you're talking with that person whom God has opened the door with, you can show the video to that person and discuss it together. It's that easy. We're to advance the gospel as we pray for him to open doors. We're to advance the gospel as we walk wisely and speak graciously. And we're to advance the gospel as we learn to speak it clearly as well. I was reminded of this story in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7. Samuel, we've had times in the past where we like to read through the Old Testament stories because they have battles in them. You know, that's a great place to disciple a boy. But in 2 Kings chapter 7, there's the story where the nation of Israel is under siege. It's in the city of Samaria, I believe. And they're under siege, and it's so devastating that the people there, literally, it says they were eating donkey's heads and dove's dung. That's how bad it was. No. So they're experiencing this famine. But the story goes on, and it says there were four lepers. And these four lepers started reasoning amongst themselves. And here's how they reasoned. One of them, they said, well, if we stay here, we're going to die. But if we go over to the enemy for mercy, they may kill us, but they may also have mercy on us. And so they finally get to this point where it's like, we're just going to go. We're so hungry. And so these four lepers, they made their way there. And as they got to the grounds where the enemy was, they were shocked to discover that the enemy was completely gone. What had happened to the enemy is God had moved and thought that they thought they were hearing advances, forces, and so they dropped everything and they took off and ran. But now these four lepers who were starving, they make their way over. And they begin to see, and with excitement and joy, they begin to go from spot to spot, and they come up to the food that had already been prepared for them, and they began to eat the food, and they realize all the silver and the gold that they can pillage, and they're overcome with joy. And then one of the lepers, he stopped, and here's what he said. We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. And then the four lepers agreed, and then they went to the king and they told everyone else about the joyous news of this deliverance. This is a day of good news. We have good news, folks. We have good news that there's healing to brokenness. And here's the reality. We were all once lepers. Spiritually starved. We came across a free gift. And if all we do is enjoy that free gift by ourselves, that's wrong. We can't keep silent, can we? May we be a people who advance the gospel of Jesus Christ by not keeping silence, but going forward prayerfully, wisely and graciously, speaking the joyful news clearly. Amen. Amen. Dear God, we come. We thank you for this day that we got to celebrate. We thank you, Lord, to be able to joy in the good news of what's happening amongst our brothers in Colombia. We give thanks for Bernardo and Sam and for Jeff. But Lord, I give you thanks for all my brothers and sisters in Christ here. My heart is overjoyed when I hear alarms going off and your people are praying. Lord, I am proud of them with a godly pride. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to work in the hearts and lives of the believers here, that they will continue, all of us will continue to pray. But Lord, we'll pray for those open doors, and that when we go through,
we will share the gospel. But Lord, I also pray for that person here today that they don't know the gospel. Maybe what they heard from Jeff today, maybe it finally made sense. Maybe the mystery of Christ became clear to them. And so, Lord, if there's a person here, and I ask you, person, if you're here, don't keep that to yourself. Come, talk to me, talk to Jeff, talk to any of our leaders here in the church about how to understand this gospel more clearly. Lord, I praise you, and I just ask that you will be magnified and glorified in your church, Lord. And Lord, even now as we close, may we sing unto your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.